It's about your house, your car, your credit cards, and the scoop comes in 7 hours' time.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. The guardians of interest rates and stimulus at the Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee wrap up a two-day meeting today with a news conference by Fed Chair Janet Yellen. Of special interest is the Fed's take on the future of interest rates in America and prospects for jobs, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Fed's got a lot on its plate. Consumer prices were up strongly last month for everything from food and gasoline to rents and new cars. If that keeps up, the Fed might have to raise short-term interest rates sooner than expected to tamp down prices, which could also tamp down consumer spending and job growth. Financial analyst Greg McBride at Bankrate.com.
You've still got the backdrop of this slow growth economy with stagnant household income, suddenly inflation starting to pick up. So you're taking away what little, if any, spending power the consumer had.
And Bernie Baumol at the Economic Outlook Group says there are lots of wild cards out there, like Iraq and Russia and soaring oil prices.
The geopolitical pot now is really boiling furiously. And it really greatly complicates the decision-making process in the Fed.
Economists do expect a relatively upbeat forecast from the Fed as job creation and business activity have rebounded since the dismal winter months. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers now. The 100-share index in London at the moment is up 0.4%. Dow and S&P futures are flat, although the key NASDAQ futures is up a bit. A new report from the Education Trust says over $15 billion a year in federal aid goes to colleges, where most of the students do not graduate. And many of the students, 3 out of 10, have so much debt they can't repay it. Turns out most of the schools on the list are for-profit institutions. Sally Herships reports.
There's some argument in academic circles over what a good graduation rate is. Some students transfer, not everyone finishes. Judith Scott Clayton teaches economics and education at Columbia University's Teachers College.
However, I think most people could agree that 15% is probably too low.
But that's how few students are graduating after 6 years from a group of schools, many of which are for-profit. But the average college graduation rate is just under 60%. That's according to Michael Dannenberg with Education Trust. And no, he says, you can't pin low rates on low-income students.
We've looked at scores of institutions that are serving similar students with similar characteristics that get very different results. In other words, demography is not destiny in higher education.
The University of Phoenix, a for-profit that receives billions of dollars a year in federal student aid, has a lot of campuses on the low graduation list. The school says its students work, so of course it takes them longer to graduate. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th, if you could. Once upon a time, it seemed like the clouds had opened up and rained money on many states when the Great Tobacco Company settlement of 1998 was struck. But like many a lottery jackpot, the $206 billion promised would only get paid out slowly over time. Impatient and cash-strapped states then figured out ways to get the money quicker by authorizing special bonds. Investors would lend the states their money knowing they'd get paid back later when the tobacco settlement money trickled in, plus interest. Yet, in some places, let's take New Jersey, some of those bonds ran into trouble and the investors who bought them were sad. And although officials there were under no obligation to fix the problem, they are proud of their solution. But Fortune magazine senior editor-at-large Alan Sloan is not proud of what his state did. He is annoyed and believes there's a lesson here for states around the country with tobacco bonds. Hello there, Alan.
Good morning, David.
So there's some financial innovation, I guess we could call it, from the state of New Jersey, our home state. It's about tobacco bonds, the big tobacco settlement. It was a mechanism to allow the state, in this case of New Jersey, to get some of the money earlier instead of waiting.
So in 2007, New Jersey sells a whole bunch of tobacco bonds that refinanced other tobacco bonds and emerges with a whole bunch of money. and manages to take some of the tobacco settlement that had been going to pay bonds and put it into his general fund.
Now, some of the bonds ran into some trouble, though.
Right. There were altogether five classes of bonds, two of which weren't going to get anything until all the other bonds were paid, and it looked like that might happen in a million years or possibly later, so these bonds were in big trouble.
All right, so then officials thought about it. They came up with a solution. They're going to put some lipstick on this pig. They're going to somehow enhance the crummier of those issues.
As part of this game, which is too complicated to even think about describing, money that had not been put into the tobacco bonds was put into the tobacco bonds. The state got $92 million up front. Unfortunately, the trade is it's going to lose 7 years of $60 million a year, which adds up to $420 million, which when last seen is more than 92.
For people saying, why do I care about New Jersey? It's possible that a state nearer you is thinking of the same thing.
Yeah, there are 23 other issuers of tobacco bonds. Many of these bonds are distressed. Issuers have a tendency to follow each other, and I just hope that whoever down the road decides to fix bonds that don't actually have to be fixed, that they do a better job of it than our beloved state of New Jersey did.
Alan Sloan at Fortune Magazine, thank you.
My pleasure.
And the International Space Station is getting what I see as a crucial upgrade this fall, an espresso machine in space, according to the online site Collect Space. You'd think maybe capsule K-cup style, but instead little plastic brewing bags from Lavazza and the Italian Space Agency. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.